Bismillahirrahmanirrahim wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Now from the announcement of Dhamdham, this put the entire Makkah into a frenzy, and everyone is preparing to depart to go and defend their caravan. And they said, does Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam think that this caravan would become like Ibn al-Hadrami's caravan? Now Ibn al-Hadrami's caravan was a caravan where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu, and they captured the caravan, and then the captives who were from that caravan were brought to Masjid Nabawi, and finally they embraced Islam. But anyway, Amr bin Hadrami, their leader, was killed in that altercation. So this is what Quraysh are saying. Does he think that this will become like that caravan? No, we are going to defend our caravan. And every last one of them had to participate. And Umair bin Wahab says that the statement of Dhamdham was strange, because even though he came one man, but he affected everyone. Many who didn't want to participate were then forced to participate. Like for example, Umayyah bin Khalaf. Umayyah bin Khalaf, the famous disbeliever in Makkah, who harmed Bilal radiallahu anhu, he was friends with Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu came for some work to Makkah, and he stayed with Umayyah bin Khalaf as his host because of their friendship, and they passed together. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu makes a request to Umayyah, just see a peaceful time, a time of seclusion by the Kaaba where I can go and make tawaf. So Umayyah then takes him at midday when everyone is resting. But in that, Abu Jahl meets them and he says, oh Abu Safwan, Abu Safwan is Umayyah. Umayyah's son is Safwan. So oh, the son of Safwan, oh, the father of Safwan, Abu Safwan, who's with you? He said, this is my friend Sa'd. So Abu Jahl says to Sa'd radiallahu anhu, how can you be peacefully performing tawaf here when you people have resorted and given protection to the irreligious ones, and you claim to assist them and support them? I really want to put an end to you right now, had it not been for your presence with Abu Safwan, meaning with Umayyah. If it wasn't for him, you would not be able to leave here safely to your family. Now Sa'd radiallahu anhu was a senior man of Medina as well. So he spoke back to Abu Jahl saying, if you stop me from Kaaba, I'll stop you from something which is more severe than this. For you, you love your money, right? Yeah, I won't let you pass near Medina also. Your caravans won't be able to come near Medina. Now Umayyah then says to Sa'd radiallahu anhu, don't raise your voice over Abul Hakam, because he's the leader here, he's the leader of Makkah. Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, Umayyah, please, you also keep quiet, you know. Let me tell you something. My Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he will end you in this fight. Umayyah said, what? What? In Makkah? Where will he end my life? I don't know. He didn't say where. But I heard him make the statement that your end will be at his hands. Umayyah was scared and startled by this. He goes back home to his family. He says, oh, the mother of Safwan, do you know what my brother Sa'd said? What did he say? He says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam claimed that he is the one, he would be the one to kill me. She got into a frenzy. What? In Makkah? He said, I do not know, but by Allah, I am never going to leave Makkah. So in spite of the oath of Umayyah, and of course, that's also another very important lesson for us to learn. That yes, Umayyah refused to recite the Shahada, the Shahada of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and embrace Islam. But look at the fear they had from the reality of the statement of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they knew that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could speak no lie. Take note, my respected listeners, how they knew Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how his words is reality. Allah says in the Quran Kareem, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِظُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَى ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا مَا بِصَاحِبِكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةٍ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. Allah Ta'ala says that I give you one admonition and advice, that get together in twos or individually. And then think, Allah says, think. ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا مَا بِصَاحِبِكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةٍ. O people of Makkah, think that your sahib has no insanity. Allah Ta'ala refers to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as, O people amongst whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam resides. He was born amongst you. From his youth he was amongst you. He was a man trusted by you all, and you never doubted a statement of his. You know him well. He never spoke a word of lie. So Allah says, ma bi sahibikum. Your sahib, your companion, someone you lived with, someone you know everything about, he has no insanity. Here Quran is pricking on their conscience that you know Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why then don't you believe? So how they also knew his sadaqat and amanat. Anyway, in that, Umayyah was staying behind until Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt came to him whilst he was sitting in the masjid, in the haram. And he brings this bakhur, and there was some coal, charcoal inside there, some fire. He put it in front of, Umayyah. And he says, oh Abu Ali, you know, anoint yourself with these perfumes because, you know, you rather stay at home because you like to be amongst the women because you are from them and you are amongst them. And then Umayyah got very, very insulted by this. And he cursed Uqba. Anyway, Abu Jahl also came with the surma stick and some, you know, decoration and some, woman's makeup. And he said, yeah, no, make up yourself because you're a woman. So Umayyah was really ashamed by now. So he purchased the most expensive camel in Makkah, valued at 300 dirham. From the cattle, from the flock of Banu Qushayr. And he went along. And then also his wife is telling him, you going? He says, no, you know, I don't want to go, but I'm forced to go, but I won't go very far. Even the Quraysh casted lots, you know, the lots that they cast, that do or don't do. And this also prohibited them. And Hakim bin Hizam actually also says, I never liked coming out. It was the worst, you know, travel ever. Arif bin Amir said, I wish Quraysh agreed to stay behind and all my wealth in the caravan I don't mind losing. As Utbah and Shaybah were preparing their armor to depart and their weapons for the journey, Addas seized them. Addas was their slave. Now remember Addas on the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Taif? Addas became Muslim that time. So Addas comes to them and he says, where are you going, my masters? Ma turidan. They say, don't you know what happened now? You know, that man who gave you, we sent you with the dates, with the grapes in Taif. Yeah, I remember him. Yes, yes, now we're going to fight him. Addas started to cry. Please, my masters, don't go. He is Allah's Nabi. He is Allah's Nabi. He begged both of them, but they both disobeyed him and they went. Anyway, as the Quraysh were continuing on their journey, it took everyone. Even they forced Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, Nawfal bin Harith, Talib bin Abi Talib, Aqil bin Abi Talib, and others who were even from the Banu Hashim were forced. So they made this rule that everyone has to join and everyone has to participate. An interesting report, as Utbah and Shaybah, the two brothers, the sons of Rabi'ah, departed and disobeyed Addas, and Addas cried profusely, and then As bin Munabbih bin Hajjaj passes, and As asks Addas, knowing him well, why are you crying so much? He says, my masters are going to fight Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger of Allah, and definitely my masters are going to be doomed. So As is asking Munabbih, is Muhammad really the messenger of Allah? And this is what makes you cry? Addas was so affected by the statement. He was, فَانْتَفَضَ عَدَّاسٌ انْتِفَاضَةً وَقْشَعَرَّ جِلْدُهُ. He shuddered and his hair stood and he cried even more. He says, إِوَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّاسِ كَافَّةً. He is Allah's Rasul to humanity. And at the statement of Addas, As bin Munabbih embraced Islam. Allahu Akbar. So what we learn from there? Never underestimate da'wat. You can give da'wat on any occasion, in any situation. Invite to Allah Ta'ala, Allah will put the impact. Then they get to a point called Usfan. They reach there on the 8th of Ramadan. And that was Umayyah bin Khalaf's turn. He slaughtered 9 camels and distributed it and contributed it towards the army, the Meccan army. Then finally they reach a place called Saniyat al-Laftin. There Banu Adi, they said, no, we're retreating, we're going back to Makkah. Because they had actually received the news that Abu Sufyan's caravan was safe, and now there's no need to continue. And now Banu Adi is the clan of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and they didn't want to participate. And in that,
As they're returning, they meet Abu Sufyan. And they had a discussion between them. That's why you're returning. They said, you sent a message to Quraysh. So Quraysh had the option that you were safe. Now we also agreed that we want to return. So Banu Adi did not participate in Badr on the side of the Mushrikeen. Alhamdulillah. One of the Mushrikeen had a turn to slaughter and feed 10 camels a day. One day was Suhail bin Amr's turn, the other day was Shayba bin Rabi'ah's turn, and like that each of them had a turn to feed their army. Kim bin Hizam says, how many times I wanted to retreat, and I casted lots, and each time I was discouraged. And each time I was going back, but I had the fear of Abu Jahl in my mind. And I said, this man is really an accursed man. I can't go back because of him. Utbah is telling his brother Shayba, you know, really, we're listening to Abu Jahl and we're going to be in trouble. Let's go back. And my son is also amongst the men of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our family. Let's go back. Shayba is saying it will be a disgrace for us forever. Rather we continue. And the both of them continued. In Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba, there's a report that some of the mushrikeen asked Abu Jahl that you're traveling to fight against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't you know he is Allah's Nabi? He said, yes, I know. But since when do we follow the family of Abdul Manaf? So we learn from there how many times Allah gives a person chance upon chance until a person then completely refutes and denies, and then they fail their test. Allah Ta'ala save us. And they were traveling and they passed, they reached a place called Abwa. Akhnas bin Shariq, he was an ally of Banu Zuhra. So he says, oh Banu Zuhra, Allah saved your caravan. Your money is safe. Why do you want to fight Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is wrong with you people? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a man from your tribe. If he is Allah's Nabi, you are fortunate. If not, let someone else do it. But this is something dangerous. Why are you endangering yourself? So Akhnas was not a Muslim. But he affected Banu Zuhra. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a man from them. And as you can remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother is from the Banu Zuhra clan. So they listened to Akhnas. And they made a plan. And they said that Akhnas is... And they returned. And as the Banu Zuhra returned and retreated, Banu Hashim were also affected and they wanted to retreat. But Abu Jahl insisted and didn't allow Banu Hashim to retreat. Banu Adi and Banu Zuhra did not participate in Badr. Alhamdulillah, Allah saved them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also traveled with the Muslims. They left on the 10th, the Friday. And as they were en route, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the Sahaba to join in. They were going for the caravan. And those who were not available were not forced to come. It was actually, not mandatory. It was optional. And that's why they were such great people who didn't participate as well. So we learned from there that this is Allah's tawfiq. Among those who did not participate, even though they wanted to be part and parcel of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum on this journey, with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum on this journey. But it wasn't tawfiq. And it wasn't part of their taqdeer. Amongst them was Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, great Sahabi. There's an interesting incident between a father and son. Khaythama and Sa'ad. Sa'ad and Khaythama radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. So the father Khaythama is telling his son, Sa'ad, that, you know, one of us should go and the other has to stay behind to take care of the errands here. So my son, let me go. The son says, father, you know, I have to listen to you in every matter except regards Jannat. This is Jannat, I am going, you stay behind. The father says, no, my son. Anyway, they agree to cast lots. The name of Sa'ad, the son, comes out and he participates. And then Sa'ad radiallahu anhu became shaheed in Badr. And his father, Khaythama, was Abu Sa'ad. He's famous in the Battle of Tabuk, you know. But look at how father and son are both eager to strive in Allah Ta'ala's way. Now Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, he contributed 20 camels for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to use in Badr. And he actually would go to the Ansari houses, وَيَأْتِي دُورَ الْأَنصَارِ يَحُدُّهُمْ عَلَى الْخُرُوجِ, so to say, make like a gush and encourage them. Come, come, join in, come. This great opportunity to strive with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Allah's way. And as they were departing, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was stung by a snake and he was badly injured and he could not participate in the last minute because of his injuries. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appreciated his efforts and also gave him a share.
And on that occasion, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu gifted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his sword that I can't go on the way of Allah, you take my sword, al-adb. So at least something of mine can go in the path of Allah ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used that sword in the battle of Badr. Uthman radiallahu anhu also was departing, but he was bidded to stay behind because his wife, the daughter of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ruqiyya radiallahu anhu, was chronically ill and she was facing her last days. So that's why he was encouraged to stay behind. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also appreciated that of him. And he was also considered as part and parcel. And he also received his share from the booties of Badr. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues on this journey until they reach an area called Naqab Bani Dinar. And there they camp at a place called Buq'ah, which is known as Buyut al-Suqya. And this was on Sunday the 12th of Ramadan. And there Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam camps. And he now analyzes all his men to see who is fit to come and who should be sent back. And he looked at all of them. Amongst them was Abdullah bin Amr bin As, famous Sahabi, Abdullah bin Amr, Usama bin Zaid, Rafi' bin Khudayj, Bara bin Azib, Usaid bin Zuhair, Zaid bin Arqam, Zaid bin Sabit, radiallahu anhum. I just listed these few because everyone else was allowed to, you know, to join in and participate. But these was sent back by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't allow them, and they were saddened by that. But they had to abide by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's instruction and guidelines. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu says, "I saw my brother Umair bin Abi Waqqas before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to identify and see all the men participating with him. But I saw my brother hiding and concealing himself. So I said to him, 'Brother, what's wrong?' He said, 'I'm worried. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees me, what if he deems me too young and he sends me back?' And in that, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam examined the entire, you know, men of his entire army, he saw Umair bin Abi Waqqas and he said, 'Umair, you should go back.' And Umair cried profusely. So one of the youth Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed was Umair bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu said, 'I was helping my brother tie his sword because he was too small for the sword.' But look at Sahaba's enthusiasm to strive for Allah's sake, to move in Allah's way, to sacrifice for Allah's deen. And Umair radiallahu anhu became shaheed in Badr also. He became shaheed in Badr. So this place is known as Buyut al-Suqya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked this area, he praised it. And because of that, later on, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu bought that property. He purchased that property because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised it. The Ottomans, you know, later on in history, in the 1900s, structured, built the rail, the Hijaz railway, and it went via this route here. And in this land, there was water. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank there, and he liked the water. And he would always, you know, say to people, "If you're fasting, then bring water from there for me." This was known as this Ardu Sa'ad, the land of Sa'ad. Later on, it was known with that name. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked the water of that area. An amazing report in Bukhari and Muslim, and at this plot, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Madinah Munawwarah. He made dua there in the land of Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. Later on, Sa'ad purchased it. That's why it was known as Ardu Sa'ad in history. Allahumma inna Ibrahim khaliluka wa abduk wa nabiyuk da'aka li ahli makkata wa ana Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abduk wa nabiyuk wa rasuluk ad'uka li ahli al-Madina mithlama da'aka bihi Ibrahim alayhi salam li ahli makkata nad'uk an tubarika lahum fi sa'ihim wa muddihim wa thimarihim. Oh Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, your Nabi, he made dua for the people of Makkah. Oh Allah, I am also your Nabi. I am also your Banda. I am your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am making dua for the people of Medina, like Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for the people of Makkah. Allah bless the trade in Medina, the measurements of Medina, the fruit of Medina, the produce of Medina. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma habbib ilayna al-Madina kama habbabta ilayna Makkah. Oh Allah, like you made Makkah beloved to us before, Allah now make Medina Munawwara our beloved lands. Waj'al ma biha min waba'in. Oh Allah, the waba, the tightness in the oxygen of Medina, oh Allah, make that, take it away. Take it out of Madinah Munawwara. And oh Allah, Allahumma inni qad harramtu ma bayna labatayha. Inside the vicinity of Madinah Munawwara, I deem it to be haram. Like you deemed it haram on the tongue of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, like you deemed the lands of Makkah Mukarrama haram on the tongue of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah make this haram also on the tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's love for Al-Madinatul Munawwara, Madinatul Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala take us to Madinah Munawwara and Makkah Mukarrama again and again, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy, through His rahmah, and through His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take us also through His grace and mercy in those Mubarak lands. Not because we are worthy at all, but just because of His mercy and His kindness. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued on that journey. He passed this valley called Irq al-Dhabya, which is approximately 63.5 kilometers from Madinah Munawwara, from Masjid al-Nabawi. And then they go into another valley called Fajr al-Rawha. And as they continue, famous there is Bi'rul Rawha, the Rawha well, which is 76.5 kilometers from Madinah Munawwara. And this is the midway between Madinah Munawwara and Badr. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named this area Sajasij, like he also named the well there Sajsaj. And from there they viewed this mountain called Jabal Warqan, and it's a huge, reddish, mighty mountain. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَّهُ مِنْ جِبَالِ الْجَنَّةِ. This is amongst the mountains of Jannah. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam traveled past this region, and he passed this mountain. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam will travel here, and come here for pilgrimage, and he will pass this mountain as well. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam camped here on the 15th of Ramadan, in this area that he named Sajasij. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so beautifully, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَيُهِلَّنَّ ابْنُ مَرْيَمْ بِفَجِّ الرَّوْحَى حَاجًا أَوْ مُعْتَمِرًا أَوْ لَيُثْنِيَنَّهُمَا. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by that being in whose hand is my soul, Ibn Maryam, Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam, will definitely read the labbaik here in the Fajr al-Rawha, either on Hajj or on Umrah, or doing both Hajj and Umrah together. And in the report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in this area of Ruha, 70 Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam passed here. Ya'ummuna bayt Allah al-Atiq, all going to Makkah Mukarramah, passing this route here. This was the place wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a sahabi back to Medina. His name was Abu Lubaba bin Abdul Mundir radiallahu anhu. He was sent to Madinah Munawwara to take care of matters there. The record in history says Sahaba radiallahu anhum were 315, but few were sent back, so 313. The Muhajireen was 74, and the remainder was from the Ansar, making up the Aus and the Khazraj. Another report says that the Muhajireen were 82, the remainder were from the Ansar, 61 from the Aus, and 170 from the Khazraj. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, on the day of Badr, we had 70 camels and we were sharing the camels. Two or three were on one camel. So on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's camel was, who took turns? Abu Lubaba bin Abdul Mundir radiallahu anhu and Ali radiallahu anhu. And then as it was the turn of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to walk and the others to ride, they would say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, you continue, we are fine, you continue riding. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would politely respond to them, Allah, Ma antuma bi aqwa minni, wala ana aghna anil ajri minkuma. You are not stronger than me. Nor am I independent of reward. Nor am I not in need of reward. So just like you need sawab, I also need sawab. And the sawab to sacrifice for Allah is immense. This comes in the report of Ahmad. Anyway, Sahaba would sacrifice, like Sa'd radiallahu anhu says that I was very well to do, but I gave my conveyances to others. I didn't ride even for one step, one leg of the journey, going or coming. I stayed on foot. But anyway, when Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu was sent back by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because as we did a little while ago, at the place Ruha, then Marthad bin Abi Marthad al-Ghanawi radiallahu anhu, and Zayd radiallahu anhu took his place. So it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Marthad radiallahu anhu, and Zayd radiallahu anhu on the camel. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Qais bin Abi Sa'sa'a radiallahu anhu, in charge of the leg of the army, and then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him to count our number, the number of the Muslims. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put him in a valley and said, as they go past, count them. And he counted them near the well of Abu Inaba, and he informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the number of the Muslims. Aisha radiallahu anha says that as they were en route to a place called Al-Qudabiyah, when they get there, a man who was very strong and prominent comes to assist. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, bring iman. Tu'minu billahi wa rasulihi. He says, no, that I don't want anything to do with that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you go and decide and think properly. He goes, he comes back the next time, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that, are you now ready to bring iman? He says, yes. Allah's Nabi said, now you come, join us. His name was Ibn Isaf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So first Sahaba were feeling, why didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accept him when he came the first time? But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw in him that this would affect him and bring him towards deen. So later on, when he came back the next day on the 13th, first he came on the 12th, then he returned on the 13th of Ramadan as a believer. Sahaba then saw the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes this pass called Wadi Turban, and that's where Sa'ad radiallahu anhu saw this buck. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this buck, he called Sa'ad. He says, Sa'ad, shoot. So he says, I'm aiming at this. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua for me. Irmi. Allahumma saddid ramyata. Allah help him. Allah make his target, make him shoot his target. And he says, I didn't miss the neck of that buck. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. I then ran behind it, found it with some, breaths of life still, ramak. And I sacrificed it with Allah's name. And Allah brought it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, carry on. We got to another point. So we didn't stop at Wadi Turban. We stopped at Farsh Malal, the next area. And there Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed the meat, in which Allah put barakat in. And everyone participated and enjoyed that meat that Sa'ad radiallahu anhu hunted for them. So he just mentioned that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Lubaba bin Abdul Mundir radiallahu anhu back to Medina Munawwara to run the affairs there. Who was left in charge of Salah? The great Sahabi Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu. Famous Sahabi, he was visually impaired. He was left as Imam of Salah, Imam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also sent Asim bin Adi al-Ijli radiallahu anhu in charge of Quba and other surrounding areas. Something interesting happened was Mu'ad bin Rifa'a Ansari radiallahu anhu narrates from his father, Rifa'a, and he's also known as Rafi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says, kharajtu ana wa akhi Khallad ma'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala ba'idin lana a'jaf. Myself and my brother Khallad, both of us, we went along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Badr, and our conveyance was very, very weak and lean. When we reached an area not far from Ruha, there our camel gave up. So I said, Rifa'a radiallahu anhu is saying, Allahumma laka alayna, la'in udnina ila al-madina, lananharanna. O Allah, we take this vow. If this camel conveys us and takes us right through our journey and makes us in our return arrive close to Madina Munawwara, we'll sacrifice it for you and distribute the meat for your pleasure. And in this, while they were in this condition, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes them and says, what's the matter? Ma lakuma. So some point just to share, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would be in difficulty and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go by. See, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Amir, and he used to actually move around amongst his men to see who was in need, who was in difficulty. So from the front to the back, he would be going about helping and assisting and encouraging the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. What a leadership quality. Not just be ahead and letting people follow, but also worrying about the people and assisting them and supporting them. So here Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the two of them, what's the matter? So we informed him that this is what happened. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets off his conveyance, performs his wudu, and then he puts his saliva in the water of the wudu. ثُمَّ بَصَقَ فِي وَضُوئِهِ. Wudu is the practice, the action of washing and performing the ritual of wudu. And wadu, a slight different pronunciation, a fatha on the wa, wadu is the water of the wudu itself. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his saliva in there, and then he told us, open the mouth, and he poured that water into the belly of this camel on the water of his wudu, and then he poured on the head and then on the neck and then the flanks and so forth and so forth. And then on the hump and on the rear and on the tail. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Allahumma hamil rafi'an wa khallada. Allah, you make arrangements of conveyance for rafi' and khallada. Allah, you carry them along. Allahumma hamil. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried on. And we got up and we are departing. And our camel was darting and so fast. فَأَدْرَكْنَا النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى رَأْسِ الْمُنْصَرِفِ. Right ahead was Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. We caught up with him. So our camel was leading the entire pack. Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم saw us and he was smiling. And we continued like this until we arrived in Badr. And then our entire journey, the camel worked perfectly for us. The conveyance was working properly. And then we thanked Allah Ta'ala. And on our return, we were close to Medina Munawwara, the camel gave in again, so to say, packed up, like the car, packed up, gave in. And that was the intention Rifa'a radiallahu anhu made. So we said, Alhamdulillah, Allah, we thank you so much that you cured our camel, it helped us, our work was done, and now we sacrificed it and we gave the meat to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu to enjoy themselves. So Allah Ta'ala made arrangements for them also of meat on their return from Badr. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued his journey. He reached two mountains and he found out from some people of the area what's the names of those mountains. They explained, Hada Mukhri wal akhar Muslih, and he found out that which tribes lived there. There were sections of the Banu Ghifar tribe, Batanan min Bani Ghifar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not too happy about traveling in that region there. He went right, leaving an area, Safra, to his left. So he crossed this valley called Sufira until he reached a valley called Wadi Zafiran. This is a famous valley, Wadi Zafiran. He crossed there and he camped somewhere there by Wadi Zafiran. Few interesting events happened there. One was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu were camping and busy with some other work, whatever they were involved in. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself went now to scout. Individually he went, he left Sahaba radiallahu anhum there. And he went past this area called Asafir by the mountains there. And just there he found an elderly Bedouin named Sufyan al-Damri. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made conversation with him, asked him, what do you know about Quraysh? What do you know about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba radiallahu anhum? Do you know anything? The old man, he responded, I will not tell you anything. Unless you give me some information, I'll then inform you. Now Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not inform him that he is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because that has to be camouflaged still. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you tell us something, we'll tell you something. إِذَا أَخْبَرْتَنَا أَخْبَرْنَاكَ Tit for tat. أَذَاكَ بِدَاكَ He asked, is it like that? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. So the elderly man said that the news has reached me that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Sahaba radiallahu anhum left on such and such date. If that information is correct, they would be at this point today. And if the one who told me is true, this is where they should be. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows what he's saying is right, exactly as he is analyzing the situation. This is how he is now, you know, estimating their journey and the legs of their journey. And then he said, I also received news that Quraysh left on this date. And if that information is correct, they should be at this point. And they would be now at this specific point. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found from there that this person was true because of how he estimated Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum's position. When this man had completed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that this is a hazard if this man knows anything further, because he gives information very easily. He said, who are you on? He is now asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him that we are from ma, nahnu min ma'in. So we are from ma.
Now, exactly what is meant, you know, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left it ambiguous for him. Now he's thinking now, you know, which ma? Is it an area ma? Is it a tribe ma? Is it an area in Iraq? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left him in this ambiguous situation, took leave and left. So we learn something from here. That is, as far as battle is concerned, one is allowed to be ambiguous like this. This is one of the occasions where this is allowed. Otherwise, a believer has to be honest and, you know, truthful. But in battle, and also in bringing unity between people, and also in one's relationship with one's wife, so that the relation remains, you know, strong, and, you know, shaitan does not try and break the family, to be ambiguous in this manner would be permissible. Otherwise, in normal circumstances, a believer has to be honest. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from there. Something else very interesting happened here, is where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat for mashura with the sahaba radiyallahu anhum. We will continue from there. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.